Chapter 6, 13 Years Old. Those last years of mine sure made for a lot of teasing from my family, I'm here to tell you. "Hey, Norm," my father would say as we ate our supper, "tell us a story from when you were 9, or 10, or even 12, it don't matter which." And I'd think just as hard as I could, narrowing my eyes and clenching my teeth, anything, to try to force a memory to the surface. "Can't remember, Dad." And the whole table would laugh and laugh. And then my father would tell a story about me from that time. A story about me losing a tooth playing hockey, or me dropping a coal oil lamp in the tool shed and damn near burning it down, or me getting a hold of my father's 12-gauge and shooting 6 holes into the tool shed like it was some sort of dangerous beast. They would always be great, funny stories, and I knew they were true. I had just forgotten them, that's all. When I finally woke up from my 5-year walking sleep, it was as if no time had passed from that moment in the tool shed looking at old Jack and thinking how his eyes looked like the cat's. The very next moment, I was sitting in the back of my father's car with my 2 brothers. My father was at the wheel, and he was telling my mother that when it was his turn, he'd be grateful to go the same way as old Jack. And my mother agreed, and said that the doctors had told her that old Jack's was the most peaceful death he'd ever witnessed. When I heard old Jack's name, I couldn't find my breath, and I snatched my older brother's sleeve in a panic, but he just looked annoyed and swatted my hand away. When we got to Coleman's funeral home, Lyle Coleman, the undertaker, was there to meet us. "Is your boy all right, Lloyd?" asked Lyle. I was shaking in an awful way. "Well, everyone loved old Jack," my father said. "My middle boy's just more sensitive than most." "Lloyd, this is the only funeral we've ever had here at Coleman's where there's no family. Surely old Jack has some kin still alive." "Wouldn't know, Lyle," my father said. "All I'm sure of is that for the last 20 years we were old Jack's family, and that's how we'll mourn him." My brothers were talking, and one said to the other, "I've never seen a dead man before. What do you think he'll look like?" And hearing that, I ran down the dirt road as fast as I could. My father found me under an old tree that was sick with Dutch elm disease. He sat down and told me that when a man is born, he is born with a great debt, and that one day the debt must be paid. I said that it was unfair that others should have to pay before old Jack. But my father explained that the rain falls on all of us, the wicked and the righteous alike. He told me that a man would be judged by his works, and that made me feel better, because I knew old Jack had led a fine and good life. My father told me I had to be strong, that old Jack would want it that way. I reckoned he was right. So I got up and walked, and my father walked behind me with his right hand on my left shoulder, guiding me back to the funeral home to say goodbye to old Jack before Lyle Coleman took him under. The room was filled with folks who talked to each other about old Jack and what they remembered of him, which wasn't much. He worked hard and he stayed to himself, never complained or had a bad word to say about anyone. The Reverend got up and said what a great man old Jack was, how he had fought bravely in the war and lived the rest of his life serving God and working the fields. I got in line with my father, and we inched solemnly toward the pine box that would be old Jack's house from here on in. Suddenly, I was next, and fear grabbed my throat and squeezed, and I gasped and pulled my tie off. "You okay, son?" my father asked. "Sure I am," I said. But I was lying. I wasn't okay at all. My brothers were okay, that's for sure, and were already in line to view the body for a second time, as if they were going on a ride in the state fair. A wild fear seized me, that as soon as I looked into the casket, old Jack would grab me and pull me into the pine box with him, and nobody would see, and I would be trapped forever, like a squirrel in a pitch-black shed, a squirrel trained by a magician to perform unspeakable tricks. And then I felt my father's hand gently on my back, and I knew it was my turn, and I wasn't going to run. So I stepped alone to the coffin and looked into it. And when I looked inside, a curious thought struck me, a thought that made my fear evaporate and my tears dry, You see, old Jack wasn't lying in the casket. Why, it wasn't him at all. It was just something that looked like him, the same way a suit lying on a bed resembles the man once wore it. Old Jack was the best fellow I ever knew, and I'd been with him as often as anyone. But I wasn't with him that day, not there, in that room, where a line of people stood waiting to look at a thing in a box.